Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Steny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us together by the radio and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again in our Bible to the book of Psalm 85, and we're looking at verse number 6, where the Word of God said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And we've been looking for several days now at revival, and I'm dealing with the fact, do we need a revival? And I had no idea that I would be this long on this part of the study. But when I get through with this portion, then we're going to look at another question on what kind of revival do we need? And let God speak to our heart as we study together God's precious word. I said to you, first of all, the need of revival is manifest in our culture. And I begin pointing out to you, first of all, when you look at the drug culture, it reveals to us we have a great need for revival in our land. And then I said to you, number two, when you look at the drunkenness in our culture, it cries out to us we need revival. And then on the broadcast yesterday, I started pointing out to you the dress situation of our culture cries out, we need revival. We have never experienced such nakedness in civilized societies as we're seeing in the culture that you and I live in today. I pointed out to you in the Word of God, the first time nakedness is mentioned is after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And then the next time that nakedness is mentioned is when Noah was drunk. And I want to say again, it's amazing how much drunkenness and nakedness go together. And God knew that when he put it in the Word of God. A matter of fact, though it's not mentioned before the flood, we learn from the Lord Jesus Christ that in the days before the flood, that they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So we find that nakedness and drunkenness go hand in hand. Nakedness and sin go hand in hand. And then we went in the Word of God to several passages dealing with nakedness. And I want to review them quickly and then move on in our study of the Word of God. Again, let me remind you, first of all, Adam and Eve sinned. And the Bible said when they sinned, they looked at each other and recognized they were naked. Of course, before the fall, they were not in a state of holiness. They were in a state of innocence. And just as a baby can run around in front of a crowd without a diaper on and have no shame whatsoever, Adam and Eve were in that same state of nakedness before the fall. But after the fall, then their nakedness became exceeding sinful to them. And you remember Adam and Eve took fig leaves and made them aprons and put upon them. But when God came walking in the garden, God clothed them. Everybody that ever gets around God gets some clothes on. I've had the wonderful privilege of being with many missionaries that serve in heathen countries. And in some of those areas, it is so primitive that people go with just a small piece of loincloth, around their midsection. But dear friend, when those people hear the gospel and they're saved by the grace of God, one of the first things they want to do is to cover their nakedness by putting some clothes on their body. I pointed out to you in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2, and in verse number 9, the Bible said, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or with gold, or with pearls or costly array, but which becometh godly women with good works. And I said again, the dress of a woman will add to her testimony, or it will take away from her testimony. And friend, I don't care how loud you speak about your Christianity. If your dress says something different, I want to tell you, your dress speaks louder than your lips speak to those that are around you. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 5, verses 27 and 28, our Lord said, you have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But now notice verse number 28. But I say unto you, that whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Let me repeat the statement that I made on this on yesterday. Lady, listen to me, ma'am. When you expose your body to the members of the opposite gender in such a manner that they look upon you and lust after you, then God said both you and him are guilty of committing adultery. There was no physical relationship. There was no touch, but he looked and he lusted. You say, men ought not be so wicked. Well, you'll have to talk to God about that when you meet him at the judgment seat of Christ. God knows the lustful desires of men. And so God knew that men could not look upon a woman without having lust. And so God commanded the ladies to adorn themselves in modest apparel, that apparel which would not draw attention to their body by members of the opposite gender. But then I want to come now to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. And here we have in verse number 14 through 19, the letter that is written to the Laodicean church, the church age that we and I live in. And I want you to notice again what God says about nakedness in these last days. He said in verse number 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Notice verse number 17. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Notice God said there are three things that the Laodiceans were saying. Number one, they said, I'm rich. Number two, they said, I'm increased with goods. And number three, they said, I have need for nothing. But now listen to the words of God. This is not my words. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. But notice what the Bible said. They said we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. But God said there's five major problems wrong with the church at Laodicea. Number one, he said, thou art wretched. Number two, he said, and miserable. Number three, he said, and poor. Number four, he said, and blind. And number five, he said, and naked. But the amazing thing is, God said that thou knowest not that thou art naked. I believe that's the generation that we live in today. My friend, we've saw so much exposure of women's breasts, and we saw the slits and the short skirts and all of the ungodliness of the dress styles of this culture. And a lot of ladies do not even know that they're exposing their nakedness as they have themselves uncovered. You say, well, preacher, what should we do? Well, notice what God said in verse number 18. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. God said, I want that nakedness covered. And he still wants it covered in this generation that you and I are living in. But then I want you to notice one other scripture before I leave the air today. In Mark chapter number 5, we have the story of the man whom we know as the demoniac from Gadara. And the Bible teaches us that this man had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. The Bible said in verse number 4, but he was often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man could tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tomb, crying and cutting himself with stones. Then I want you to notice in the context here, the devils ask permission to leave him and go under the swine. When they do, the 2,000 swine go down a steep embankment into the sea and drown themselves. And the Bible said in verse number 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. What I want you to notice, verse number 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with devils and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now we're told in another one of the Gospels that he wear no clothes. And so we see here in the text that when Jesus Christ cast the devils out of this man, he got in his right mind and he put clothes on. Now, I'm not saying everybody that doesn't wear appropriate clothing is out of their mind. But I will say this, if you ever get around where God is and God ever does a work in your life, then, my friend, he will cause you to put some clothes on that will be respectable and not reveal your nakedness. Well, our time is gone again. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's all.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Once again, it's anniversary month here at the Harvest Time Broadcast. We began broadcasting on the first Monday in November of 2002. The Lord's allowed us to finish 6 years, and we're now broadcast over 80 times a day. I do want to thank you that's prayed for us and stood by us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. I remind you that without you, we would not be able to do the job that we're doing. Let me encourage you on this anniversary month that you take time out, write to us, and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.